You're listening to the Refined Hippie Podcast, a show all about holistic lifestyle, nutrition, and plant-based veganism for a mind-body-spirit approach to living healthily and happily for ourselves and our planet. Welcome back to another episode, my lovely friends. I am your host, Rebecca Henson. It is so great to have you here for this episode. It is springtime, and I hope you are feeling all the good vibes for the season. This is one of my favorite times of the year, spring and summer. I love the warmth, so I am ecstatic. I'm actually sitting outside right now. I'm on my back porch. I was in the sun trying to record this intro and outro, but it was a little too bright and a little too hot, so I'm in the shade, but it is still magical, and honestly, you could think I could be on a deserted beach right now, and I would still feel the same enthusiasm about being outside. I just love it so much. I love spring. I love this time of year. I know that, you know, there's pollen everywhere, and that can be really annoying. I was thinking about this the other day, how, you know, our cars are covered. My car is white, and so basically it looks like a yellow car now. And I know pollen can be very irritating for a lot of people with allergies, but dang it if this is not a good sign, right? Like, when everything is covered in pollen, I'm happy. I'm happy because that means that spring is here, summer is on its way, and it's one of my favorite times of the year. So just think about it as a beautiful, beautiful sign from Mother Earth, from God, that, you know, it's all about renewal, rebirth, growth. I mean, this is the season for beautiful change. And, you know, if you are planning on being healthier, I mean, I feel like in the winter, it's easier for us to fall into, you know, a worse pattern as far as health and exercise, for me, for sure. But, you know, the food is so much more vibrant to me in the spring and summer because that's when a lot of my favorite vegetables and fruits are available. And, you know, it's really great to eat in season. So, I'm just so happy. I'm so happy. And I'm so happy about this episode. So we will just jump right in. So my interview today is with a functional medicine doctor down in Austin, Texas, Dr. Tanisha Wards. Dr. Tanisha focuses on getting to the root cause of disease or whatever the ailment or issue may be, whether it's fatigue, chronic pain, fibromyalgia, or any other medical mystery. She has a passion for figuring out the why and then the how to help heal the problem. And this passion stems from her own struggles with Lyme disease, autoimmunity, and Epstein-Barr virus. So having that personal experience really helps her be able to empathize, you know, with her clients on a different level. We get into all of her story and her struggles with dealing with autoimmune disease and being misdiagnosed, and her mother, who was the one who helped figure out what her real issue was when she was a teenager dealing with Lyme disease. So we get into that. We also talk about Lyme disease origins, healing line, Epstein-Barr virus, Hashimoto's. We discuss the Western medicine blood test, functional medicine test, mindset shift, the American state of health, and all kinds of different fun topics. We also get into water and had the best ways to hydrate the cells and her top overall things to focus on for wellness, including a few supplements. It is a really great interview. We had a blast chatting. So without further ado, here is my interview with the lovely and passionate Dr. Tanisha Wards. Hello, Dr. Tanisha. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to chat with you today.
I know. We have a lot of fun topics I'm sure we can get into about functional medicine and getting to the root cause of disease and all of those good things that we love to chat about. But I think what I've read about you and learned is that you are like a lot of us in that you get to the wellness space from your own traumatic, you know, healing process. So tell us a little bit about your background and how you got interested in this.
Yes. This isn't this is definitely not the path of least resistance in the medical field, for sure. It's not the easiest path. We're absolutely going against the grain and uphill, right? So I feel to be really good at this, or to really have a heart for this, it usually comes from your own personal experience. And I've had a couple. My first experience was when I was 15 years old. I literally one day was a normal 15-year-old cheerleader, friends, active, went to bed, woke up the next morning, literally overnight, woke up and couldn't move any of my joints and was in excruciating pain. The best way I could describe it is it felt like shards of glass scraping from the inside out of all of my joints. Wow. I had a rash on both my legs, and that's important in a second. I'll tell you why. I had to run my fingers and hands under warm water to bend them, and was tired and kind of out of it. And my mom called my pediatrician. They brought me in through the back door. Like, she's a kid in a bubble. We don't know what this is. Went to doctor after doctor, as a lot of us in our stories go. Nobody knew it was wrong. I had every diagnosis under the sun. Lupus. They ruled out lupus. You know, if you watch Dr. House back in the day, it's never lupus, right? Sometimes it is. Right. I mean, it is if it is, right? But that's usually a go-to with something systemic like this. They ruled out MS. Eventually they were like chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia. They landed on idiopathic juvenile arthritis. Basically, we don't know why your joints hurt, but they do. And my mom took pictures of that rash, and she ended up doing her own research, because all they could give me was antidepressants, steroids, anti-inflammatories. I was on arthritis drugs. I was on Celexa, Celebrex. Celebrex has been recalled. So that's nice. Has a class action lawsuit against it.
Of course.
And those pictures of the rash stood out to her because one of them was a bullseye rash. And so doing her own research, again, this is 1994, she went to the library and did her own research, because, you know, you could get on the internet faster there. Yeah. And she was looking through books. She thought this could be Lyme disease, and did her own research and started asking around, and found a Lyme disease support group that she went to. And then they led her to a doctor who's holistic minded that would treat it. Again, this is 1994. There's a lot of political controversy around Lyme disease at the time, and there still is in some places of the country, sadly. This was in Michigan, and I'm now in Texas, but this was in Michigan, and they believed that Lyme disease was only in Lyme, Connecticut on the East Coast. Oh, gosh. And the story behind that is the whole city of Lyme, Connecticut, all the kids, like 70% of the kids in the city, got idiopathic rheumatoid arthritis, which is juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, which is idiopathic just means we don't know what's causing
it.
Juvenile, it's for kids, you know, arthritis. And so she traced it back to that and found a doctor, and they tested me, and sure enough, I had Lyme disease, and we had to find somebody to treat it. And you had to, at that time, call the office and say that you had chronic fatigue and you're coming in for that. You couldn't even say Lyme disease, because it was that crazy. Doctors were getting in trouble for over-treating, and it's still like that in some places. So fortunately, we got the right doctor, and over about a year's time of doing things like liver cleanses, candida cleanses, antibacterial, antimicrobial things, I got well, my body got well. Wow. So I was able to go back to school, catch up, and graduate on time. That was the first time I got really sick. So that kind of started the path. The second time was at 33 after having, 36. I was a geriatric pregnancy, right? Anything after 35, hate that word, but 36,
I hate that word too. Gosh.
I hate it. Yeah. It was all over your chart. Anytime somebody spoke to you, oh, it's a geriatric pregnancy.
And oh my gosh.
36. I know. Anyway, that I got sick again about a year after having my daughter, like bedridden. I had a busy practice. I was bringing on some associate doctors, and I thought, oh my gosh, the Lyme came back, because these bugs can lie dormant and wait for an opportunistic time to attack. But it wasn't. Everything for Lyme that I was testing, and I ran something called a CD57. It was normal. And I didn't have the joint pain. I had fatigue. I had some brain fog. I had some mood issues. It ended up being Epstein-Barr virus and Hashimoto's, which is a thyroid autoimmunity. I think just the stress of everything that was going on, there was a lot of family stress and work stress. Mm-hmm. My immune system just tanked, and I became an opportunistic host for the EBV2 express. And then you know, my body was attacking its own thyroid. And so I had to pull myself out of that. Fortunately, I was able to run some tests on myself and figure it out and help myself at that point. So those are the two big pivotal moments that have really, made me lose a lot of faith in Western medicine, because again, my parents spent tens of thousands of dollars trying to get me help. And then also just understanding how to actually find and fix the core root problem of these things naturally.
Mm-hmm. And kudos to your mom.
I know, you know, right? Yeah. I wrote a thank you to her in my book of just your tenacity. I mean, and that doctor who was treating people and could get in trouble. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, when your child is ill, I mean, fortunately I've been very blessed and our daughter has been very healthy, but I've seen parents go through it. Like it's another level of, you know, pain. Not giving up.
Yeah. Yeah. Pain. Yeah. I mean, you feel the pain for them and would take, you know, their illness in a heartbeat. I know my mom has felt that way about me, with my issues that I've had through the years, but yeah. And I have a friend who she had Lyme disease years back, and I mean, she went at least 2 years without any direction. They thought I think she had meningitis at one time. And then,
yes,
I think they thought she might've had MS or something. I don't, you know, it's just all over the place. And well, then I had another lady on here and she had it for 8 years, 8 years.
I've had women that have come in 2 to 3 decades and they've been slapped with the diagnosis of fibromyalgia, which makes sense. Everything hurts. I want to say this, but then I want to follow up with it. I don't believe in fibromyalgia. I believe that there is pain all through the body and the nervous system is flared up. I don't believe that we don't know the cause. I don't believe that there's no treatment. There's always, always, always a cause. We've always found a cause for fibromyalgia. To me, fibromyalgia is just a set of symptoms. Mm-hmm. Even though it's an ICD-10 code, it's a true diagnosis. I get that. But that's not where it stops. Mm-hmm. It's been as simple as the pH of the body is off and the person needs minerals. And once we replenish that, the pain went away. It's been that simple.
Wow.
And it's been that complicated that it's been Lyme disease or a co-infection or a parasitic infection or mold toxicity. Right. So it could be a lot of different things that can cause pain. And the diagnosis for fibromyalgia is a tough one. They, you know, are you sore and tender in these points? Are you having this, you know, fill out the symptom survey? So there's not like a test for it because then we'd have to figure out the cause. So it's an interesting, you know, it's an interesting dynamic of when a patient walks in with fibromyalgia, plus they've been slapped with the diagnosis of chronic fatigue and they're talking to me and they're saying, oh yeah, all these joints hurt, my nervous system, my brain fog, I can't focus. Like spidey senses, you know, call it medical intuition or probably just clinical experience and personal experience. I'm like, this could be Lyme disease or this could be mold or something. Like I've just been through enough of them, that I can almost feel it. Like there's something causing it and it could be this underlying infection.
I mean, the unfortunate thing is, you know, you offer all kinds of different tests that Western and allopathic medicine doesn't even offer, you know, which is so frustrating. And so then, you know, they can never get to the root cause. And even when they do some blood tests, like the parameters are so off on what is considered healthy, right?
100%. Yeah. So two thoughts with that, or a lot of thoughts with that. But the first one is the blood test, the simple blood test that they do, like the Western blot for Lyme disease is only about 65% accurate. That's not great. I got lucky when I was a kid that came back positive.
Right.
I mean, I say lucky because, you know, it could have come back negative and then we were still on the hunt and never found it. Right. The test that we do is a blood spot test and they look for the RNA and DNA of the bug, but also some antibodies, IgG and IgM. It's still only about 90 to 95% accurate. It's not 100%. The reason why is these bugs are called stealth pathogens. They can hide, they can get out of the bloodstream. They can go into the cerebral spinal fluid, the ligaments, the joints, you know, they can burrow into organs. They're spirochetes. I know, meaning that they're like spiral bacteria. So they can kind of burrow in and hide into joint spaces. So it's not always the doctor's fault, right? Some of these bugs hide. And so I have helped a patient with Lyme disease based on a negative test because all the symptoms made sense. And she, you know, lived in a place where there was tick population, which, you know, isn't always the case, but that's definitely one problem with that testing. to your point about Western medicine not running full panels is I can't even tell you, I couldn't even count how many women have come in and they've been told, oh no, my thyroid's fine. They ran a TSH. Well, that's all they ran. Mm-hmm. You're never going to find an autoimmune disorder on just the TSH. The TSH mm-hmm. could be normal. You need to run the autoimmune antibodies, the TPO and the, you know, antithyroglobulin to see if the body's attacking its own thyroid, which is the definition of Hashimoto's. And then you're right. Our ranges are different. So in functional medicine, you know, we're looking at a much tighter range versus Western medicine's pathological range, which is a synonym for disease. So you might be a low normal, like barely in the range of the TSH, but have all the hypothyroid symptoms, but you know, your doctor's looking at you and saying, well, you're in range. Barely, like a hundredth of a tenth of a point, and you have hair falling out, weight gain, you know, puffiness, fatigue, like all the stuff. And it's like, well, yeah, you're barely in range. If we don't do anything, 3 more months, you're going to be clinically, you know, pathologically hypothyroid. So that's probably the biggest difference between regular pathological ranges and functional medicine ranges is that we're trying to get the body to function its most optimal. So we want that in the middle range, if not even like, you know, middle to high end of normal in some cases.
Yeah. Yeah. And like so many people have the story of going in and getting blood work done and, you know, coming in with all these symptoms and saying, I feel horrible. You know, I have X, Y, and Z symptoms. And then the doctor comes in and they're like, well, your blood work looks great. So maybe you just,
it's all in your head.
It's all in your head. You know,
here's an antidepressant. It's like, well, I'm not sad, doc. I'm sad because I'm tired.
I don't feel good. I mean,
yeah, it's not. Yeah. And that was my case. I got put on at 15 an antidepressant.
Oh my God.
And it's like, well, I wasn't, oh yeah. And steroids and arthritis medication. And yeah. And it's like, well, I'm not depressed. I'm depressed because I'm bedridden and I'm sick and I'm missing life. And I'm so young.
I'm a teenager. And
And that made me feel a little happier, but it didn't help my energy or my pain, right. You know?
Yeah.
It didn't fix the problem.
And they're still doing that even more. I think I forgot what the stats were on it, but I read it somewhere of, you know, just how many children, like teeny children are on antidepressants. It's insane.
And don't get me wrong. There's a time and a place for them, right?
Yeah. It's not, I don't want to demonize anyone who's on them. Sure.
And that's not a solution.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It, like, you know, if you lose a loved one or you're going through a really hard time and it's, you know, it's a life or death situation. That's what they're made for, you know, and it ideally would be temporary, get you through something, you know, life is situational, move past it and come off, not, oh, you've had some pain and fatigue. You're on this the rest of your life. And that's sometimes how they're used.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know a lot of people who have gone through, that experience. And it totally makes sense. I mean, if you get a divorce or something, I mean, there's just no way to get out of it, you know, at that point. And it's definitely can be a powerful tool. And I mean, you know, I feel this way about allopathic medicine in general. We don't have to throw it all out. You know, people think if you're a proponent of functional medicine or holistic medicine or whatever, that then you're against Western medicine, but that's not, we don't believe that.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. If I'm in an accident and I'm bleeding out, take me to the hospital.
I don't want acupuncture for my broken leg. Like,
right. And at the same time, nothing makes me happier in life when I have somebody's primary care doctor or psychiatrist who wants to work with us and say, yeah, let's get them off this medication. Let's figure out, you know, is there depression or anxiety coming from leaky gut syndrome, which we now know more brain chemistry is made in the gut lining, or genetic. We do a lot of genetic testing. You know, we can figure out what's out of balance, but why, you know, maybe they have a genetic predisposition where they don't convert, you know, the right amino acids into serotonin properly, or they don't break down dopamine properly. And those are things that we can't change your genetics, but we can figure out food, diet, lifestyle, nutrients that you need to insert to complete those genetic pathways and fix the pathway essentially, with external help to get your body to do that better. Mm. And you don't have to use drugs for that, but those are the people that sometimes do end up on a lifelong, you know, anti-anxiety med or something because they don't know that it's genetic and it is all in their head. Literally the brain chemistry is out of balance, right. And there's a lot that can be done naturally too.
Right. But that's amazing that you have some doctors reaching, you know, to work with.
It's fewer and far between than I'd
is
like.
Is it happening more like recently, hopefully? I mean,
I think it is. And I think that the catalyst is the patient. Yeah. I think that especially what's happened the last couple of years, I think a lot of people have lost faith in their doctors to an extent. And I think that people now realize they want and deserve better than being slapped out of medication. And so a lot of them are, hey, I'm working with this person. We want to get off this. Can you help me titrate down? Mm. And like, why wouldn't their doctor like, yeah, of course. Like I would hope, right?
I would like
and a
to
lot
help
of them
you,
are
yeah.
like, yeah.
Rather than-
yeah. Yeah. And you know, when they say we're doing things like diet, nutrition, stress management, you know, nutraceuticals like 5-HTP or something, you know, gut repair. Yeah. Oftentimes they get really good responses. And that, mm-hmm. that I do think is really a shift, a paradigm shift that is happening slowly, but I am
very
seeing
slowly.
It more and more.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing more and more, MDs that I know stepping out of Western medicine and going back and learning functional medicine. Oh, yes.
Thank
yes.
Gosh.
More and more are taking a step back and saying, you know, they haven't been through an experience like I have and you have, and I'd love to hear your journey, but they're seeing people get better in these different ways. I have a friend who was a hospitalist. He's in Florida. And he said, you know, he saw his dad go through cancer treatment and he said pancreatic cancer in pass. And he said, I can do better as a doctor. Like I can help people not get to this point. And I need to learn how, because if he did this, and this 20 years ago, we wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. And so his focus is food and diabetes and, you know, amazing. So they're seeing, you know, the proof is in the pudding kind of thing. They're seeing people get well and heal and prevention. And a lot of them are like, I want to do
that. Like, I need to know more about this. Yeah.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Really.
Yeah. Yeah. I have, so I had, ulcerative colitis.
Yeah.
And I mean, of course the beginning of that, they just wanted to give me, you know, different immunosuppressants and whatever, which didn't work anyways. They just kind of made me worse. But long story short with that is, I mean, I did heal myself. And then the last few years I did have a setback mainly because of all the stress. I moved, and then the stress of COVID. I mean, it was more of a mental thing other than, cause I've said that, you know, 90% of my healing was partly nutrition. And then the other was my mindset and mental, you know, just
100%
being more positive and like, you know, not being stressed. And then the last 2 years did not help my situation at all. And I had a setback, and then, I mean, I still haven't found a GI doctor here that I think GI doctors are harder. I don't know why. I mean, she wouldn't see me if I didn't take biologics. So like, she wouldn't even be my doctor. So
wow,
it was basically
that's-
like, you can take this or otherwise, you know, good luck. That's basically, she didn't even see me at all. I never met the doctor. I met her nurse and I told the nurse, you know, obviously like how I had healed in the beginning, you know, how I'd been healed for years and, you know, why I thought I had this setback and whatnot. And then she went and talked with the doctor and then they called me and were like, you know, well, you know, the doctor says you should go on, I forgot what it was, Humira or Remicade or one of those things. And I was like, well, I'm not going to do that. So.
Yeah. Well, in their defense, that's their only tool in their toolbox.
I know. And I know that. And that's the thing. I know.
Sadly, but that's the thing that we as patients have to demand better, because they should be doing better. That's their job, is to find and fix the problem, not just cover it up with symptoms, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
Right. And unfortunately, you know, if you're getting your continuing education from pharmaceutical companies and you're, you know, that's their only tool in the tool belt, which is, in my opinion, often wrong and sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I can agree on that. Yeah. That it's like, oh.
And then I later found out, this is a little gossip, and obviously I'm not going to say who this doctor is, but I later found out through a friend that she had had cancer. She didn't. And then my friend had tried to like encourage her to like, you know, maybe try not to necessarily not do, you know, the Western approach for cancer, but to maybe try to change her diet or do some other things. And she didn't do any of those things. And she just you know, shrugged it off or whatever, and she got cancer again. I mean, it came back. And it's like, well, if she has that kind of, I mean, I don't want her to be my doctor anyways. Like she clearly shows no interest in anything else other than pharmaceuticals. And I mean, we're not going to see
it
that
align. Like, yeah. Yeah. I just don't resonate and align with that because it is so much more. It's diet, it's mindset. And I love that you said mindset, because one thing we've added in the last year and a half is health coaches to our program to help people with mindset. And a big one is that we've seen that people have been sick for decades and, you know, years or decades, is that as your body heals, there's a mental game of, you also have to realize that you're healing and that you're no longer the sick person in the family, or you can function. And that's a shift in how people live and how they work and how they go day to day. I mean, if you go from bedridden to, I can run to the grocery store by myself and I can work, I can get a part-time job. Mm-hmm. You have to kind of almost change who you are.
Yeah.
Like that's a huge mindset shift, and it's beautiful to watch, but it takes mental work.
I mean, it's PTSD. I had PTSD for sure.
Yeah.
You know? And
yes.
I mean, I think anybody who's been sick a long time can feel that way. And then you have these subconscious thoughts, especially from being in the Western world and having Western doctors tell you, like, you're never going to be well. You're always going to have this. You're always going to be sick. There's yes. nothing else to do other than take drugs. I mean, that even if you hear that and you don't believe it, it still gets in there, you know?
I 100% agree. Absolutely. And we're one of the few countries in the world that separates mind from body, and you just can't.
Right.
You just can't, right? We have two separate fields of medicine for it, and you just can't. You know, it's with stomach stuff, we say in Chinese medicine that I've been trained in also, is it's not what you're eating, it's what's eating you oftentimes with the gut. So yeah, speaking of the last 2 years being so stressful, I think so many people are in PTSD and we're adrenal depleted and we're just done and we're sick of being in fight or flight, and our brain chemistry is out of balance because we don't know when the next stressor is coming at us. Like it's an interesting time. What else
what
is going to happen?
Propaganda are they going to push on us?
Right. And then, you know, are our children safe? Aren't they safe? Are they, you know, are they now going to have psychological damage? Like there's just it goes so deep right now. And it's an uphill battle, I think, for wellness. And at the same time, I think it's also an opportunity sometimes in those darkest times for people to, like I said, demand better care. And also a lot of people, one thing I've seen, and if I could point out one thing I'd like to see change through this whole last 2 years of the pandemic, is a lot of people are taking a step back and saying, I need to get healthier. I need to be strong. I need to eat properly. I need to exercise. I need to drink water, because if I get COVID, I want to know that I'm strong enough to beat it. Mm-hmm. And we've had a lot of patients, just, this is not the usual for our clinic. We usually see people after they've been to 8 or 10 doctors sometimes, usually 4 or 5, but we have some people coming in that they're like, I'm not bedridden, I'm not sick, but I know I'm not healthy and I want to be the healthiest I can be. I want to stop drinking alcohol and I want to, you know, clean up my diet. And what can I do? Let's run a food allergy test. Let's run blood work. Am I deficient in vitamin D or something that could make me stronger to fight this illness if I got it? And that is huge for people to take a step back and realize, I've said this from the beginning, I don't think it's if you're going to get exposed to COVID, I think it's when and how strong are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. We all know that now.
Well, it's going to happen. Why can people just, you're going to get it. Like, it's going to happen, but how are you going to deal with it? Is it going to be like a day and you're going to be fine? I mean, I had Omicron. I thought that I was good to go. Like, I didn't get Delta. My husband got it. He didn't give it to me. I was like, I'm immune. I'm totally naturally immune. And then I did get Omicron, but it was just like a day and a half and I was fine.
Right. Right. And I think that matters in our lifestyle and our, you know, levels of nutrients, the food we're putting in our body, our mental state, right? Like if you're under a lot of work stress and you're sleep deprived and you're not feeling good and you get exposed, you're going to get hit.
I know.
It's going to take you, it could take you out. Yeah. I mean, literally. So all of that matters. And I am seeing a big wake up.
That's great.
In that. So I'm always,
I mean, I think the shift is happening. You know, I think that it's like the pendulum has swung so far that it's slowly coming back the other way, you know?
I agree. And I do think Americans have been hit so hard because of you know, we're running in the red, right? Our stress levels, our food supply, our diet, our inflammation levels, you know, that all matters and why we're getting hit so hard. I mean, other countries are too, but that's why I think we had such a epidemic of it, pandemic of it. Yeah. All of it because of a lot of our state of our health, and a lot of people hopefully are starting to recognize that and wake up and make some changes.
Right. I think it's been it's a hard pill to swallow, no pun intended, that, you know, to recognize that we do have one of the most unhealthy countries. Like, I know that we don't want to say such things because it's, I mean, I love our country, but we're not doing too good in a lot of areas, you know?
I mean, there's stats, I can't rattle them off, but I know there's stats that, you know, how many pharmaceuticals we're on, how many, our level of cancer and obesity and diabetes, like all of that. The numbers don't lie. I love data. That's why I love functional medicine testing. I love the numbers and I love the data, and the numbers don't lie. And it's, in a lot of it's our food supply. I was actually just having this conversation with a patient yesterday in our clinic that, people that are really gluten sensitive here in the US can sometimes vacation to Italy and France. And I've had patients, you know, look me in the eye and they're like, I know I'm celiac and I'm going to Italy and I'm going to eat all the pasta and I'm going to eat all the bread. Like, it wasn't a lifetime trip. I'm just going to flip and do it. And I'm going to feel like crap and I'm going to come back and I'll detox. And this is what I'm going to do. And they come back and they're like, Dr. Wards, I ate pasta and I didn't immediately get dizzy, get headaches, get bloating, have diarrhea, the whole thing.
Amazing.
How is that possible? And I started doing some research on it. And a lot of it's the wheat's harvested right then. There's no preservatives added. There's no shelf life. You know, it's harvested. It's cooked right away. Like, they're using it right away. They're not adding chemicals. You know, they're not putting it on a grocery shelf for months. And it's just different. I also think their crops can be different. And so we've definitely created a world here that we can't survive in very well. Another thing, that same conversation kind of got a little sidetracked to, I'm in Austin, Texas, and UT is here, University of Texas. And I said, you know, I've seen this in patients that have moved here to go to college, young teenagers, specifically from Italy and also India. And what I found interesting about patients coming from that area of the world is they'll start eating out of the cafeteria, right? And they're freshmen in college and they start having brain fog, gas, bloating. They gain 20 to 30 pounds in 6 months because they're going from eating a lot of foods that maybe they've harvested in land, their own land or close by, or right.
So like fresh,
fresh foods to literally a patient. We talked about her diet and she was like, yeah, every morning I have Little Debbie zebra cakes and orange juice. And for lunch, I have pizza and a Coke. And, you know, for dinner, I might have a burrito from, you know, a local place, not the cafeteria. And I'm like, what was your diet like before? And, you know, even if it was like rice and chicken and, you know, things, all of that was, most of it's organic, right? It's not being sprayed with pesticides. Yeah. So even if they try to eat close to their culture, it's still not the same. It's not the same source. It's not that. And their body's freaking out. It's like, what do we do with these chemicals and these preservatives? We've never seen this in 18 years. Yeah. And sadly, this particular patient was starting to have brain chemistry issues and like couldn't focus. Now she's on an ADD medicine and, you know, not doing well in school. And I think it's because she developed leaky gut so quickly from the poor food and her body going in shock. And we know that most of our brain chemistry is made in the gut, our serotonin, dopamine, GABA, and it's causing leaky brain and brain chemistry issues. So we had to take a step back and talk about what organic produce is and things because, yeah, she didn't even put that together. And it's sad.
I have a similar story of a friend who is from Italy and he was having all that. Well, first off, he was having a lot of floaters, which I have floaters. I think that's more common than people realize, but they were making him crazy. Like, he was going nuts about these floaters in his eyes, you know, maybe they were that extreme. I don't know, but he's never been sick in his whole life, right? He's never had anything wrong with him. And so he was trying to eat healthier and he showed me what he was eating. And I was like, dude, I mean, these tomatoes you've got to buy tomatoes organic of all the things, like, absolutely. And then you had spinach again, has to be organic, like all the things. And I tried to explain to him why, and I don't know if he got it or not, because it's so, it, because that's not a thing for them. So it makes it right. So weird, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a different tomato.
It's just totally different.
Yeah. Totally, it's a different. Yeah. Oh, it's startling, really. And yeah. I think people just don't even put it together or know, because, you know, if you haven't studied this, how would you know?
Well, and I think, you know, there's been this mindset of, and I felt this way when I was younger, for sure, is that if it's on the shelves, it must be good. It must be fine, because my government, you know, why would my government let bad things be on the shelf? Right.
Well, that could be a whole other podcast. That could be a whole
other episode. I know. I mean, obviously I know differently now, but most people still think that. And, you know, most people watch a lot of TV, and then they're, you know, marketed to constantly on the stupid commercials. I don't have cable. So I don't. And when I am somewhere that has normal television and then the commercials are on, I'm just like, this is insane. I'm going insane. Oh, yeah. Just like watching these, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And people who haven't eaten some of those packaged foods and, you know, fast food, it tastes good, yeah. Right? Like,
I mean, they have a whole team devoted to discovering what, you know, ingredients to add to make people addicted to it.
Mm. Yeah. So something like, you know, if you come from a culture where you're eating off your land or very close, everything's local, farmers markets or, you know, whatever produce is grown by neighboring families, and then you have Taco Bell, like your world has changed. Yeah. And it's addictive, right? We're talking the MSG, refined sugar, like all of that stuff also gives us dopamine hits and oxytocin and all these things that we're like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, and until you're not.
Yeah. 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 But then a lot of people will just write it off as like, I don't know why this happened, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah. And then they get diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder or whatever the case from all these foods. Yeah. Yep. So much of it is what we put in our body, and it's so hard to, you know what's right.
Yeah.
For you sometimes.
For sure. And it looks different for everyone.
One thing we do talk about that I think is a good just take home is shopping on, and I'm sure you know this and talk about this, shopping on the perimeter of the grocery store. Like sometimes I just have to start that basic. Anything down the aisles are going to have preservatives and chemicals because they're sitting on the shelf. It's like, they're going to, some are better than others, right? Like some are better.
Yeah.
But even the organic stuff or the gluten-free stuff, you know, to make it taste good, I have to put a bunch of sugar in that, you know, that kind of stuff. Like we, it's still not, I say to patients, food can either help you and heal you or hurt you.
Mm.
You know, and then once you know, and we go through the process of that, once you know, then you can make a choice. If someone says, you know, I'm having birthday cake twice a year, like whatever, the wedding cake, I'm at a wedding. Yeah. You can make that choice. So, okay, I'm going to have it. I'm eating well other times.
Right. Yeah. And I was reading something about this the other day, because like a lot of times people have this thought of everything in moderation, and I don't really believe that anymore. It's like, okay, once or twice a year, that's not considered moderation, right? But like, I'm like, well, would you do meth in moderation? I mean, is that okay? You know, like, would you do cocaine in moderation? I don't really think that, I don't think that's the best, you know, way philosophy. To look about it, you know? Yeah.
No, that's a good point. Yeah. I mean, maybe some people would, I would not make it long like that.
Yeah. I mean, you won't be healthy, that's for sure. But if you're trying to be healthy, I think moderation is. And I'm not trying to like scare anyone, for sure, that like, you know, you have to just to be militant about it, but it's just, I think it's about going more back to nature anyways, you know, just like we were saying earlier. I mean, connecting back
100%.
And that's like physically, you know, through your food and getting outside and all the things.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What are some of the top, I mean, you see a lot of women in your clinic. What would you say are the top complaints that people will come in for?
Definitely chronic fatigue. I think chronic fatigue is probably the number one thing people come in with, followed by insomnia, which runs together, sleep issues. And probably the last 2 years, anxiety and gut issues, probably a good tie for third, but definitely some anxiety the last couple of years. For sure. And I think it's adrenals and brain chemistry and everything we've been dealing with. And we also see a lot of fertility and hormones and skin issues, but yeah, but I'd say fatigue, sleep and insomnia, anxiety.
Yeah. If you had to tell someone like what are your top three or your top five, like things to do in your opinion?
For overall wellness and health.
For just overall wellness. Yeah.
The top three that I say more than once a week is sleeping, pooping, and hydration. If you're not sleeping 6 hours uninterrupted of sleep, your cells can't heal and rebuild. If you're not hydrated, every cell in the body needs water to function. You know, you're not going to function in properly throughout the body. And then if you're not going to the bathroom, we know you're not absorbing nutrients properly. You're not making brain chemicals properly. And then if I were to say two supplements that I think people should look at is vitamin D. Mm-hmm. Big fan of vitamin D. Get your vitamin D levels, run. Vitamin D should almost be a hormone of all the mechanisms that it's a part of. Immunity, mood, energy, hair loss. Low vitamin D is a big one for hair loss that I've seen change. It just does so many things. And there's studies coming out right now, speaking of functional ranges, Western medicine considers 30 to 100 normal. We like to see it 60 to 100 in functional medicine. There's some studies coming out with people who didn't get as sick with COVID, who recovered quickly, didn't have long haulers. They're saying the sweet spot for vitamin D level is 80.
Nice.
And very rarely so much higher people have that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're here in Texas and it's warm. However, when it's real hot, I don't go out when the sun's out.
Right.
If I am, I'm wearing sunscreen, right? Or right now it's, you know, mid 70s. I'm wearing a long sleeve shirt and pants. So how much of me is actually going to absorb the sun? My makeup has sunscreen in it, right? We're not actually showing any skin. So getting out in the sun 15 minutes a day is as uncovered as you can be legally. Like if you have a backyard, like I tell women, go out in a sports bra and shorts in your backyard and get sun for 10 minutes. And then my fifth one would probably be adrenal support. Hmm. I think the adrenal glands are the most overworked and underpaid glands in the body. And so many hypothyroid cases are really a symptom of adrenal fatigue, because when the adrenals are really stressed and we're in fight or flight, where's the next tiger and the bear? You know, we're pumping out adrenaline. The thyroid comes in and goes, whoa, 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 sister, slow it down. You hear about CEOs, you know, keeling over of a heart attack from stress. That's adrenal related, right? And so the thyroid tries to regulate because everything's about coming back to homeostasis and balance. And so now we have this low thyroid, which shows up on labs more than doctors are testing for cortisol levels. So then you get slapped with a hypothyroid symptom, a hypothyroid diagnosis, which isn't wrong because your thyroid is lowering, but why? The thyroid didn't wake up one day and say, we're just going to stop making T3 and T4. We're just going to plummet. You know, it's usually stress and adrenal driven. And so I think adrenal adaptogenic herbs and rebuilding the adrenal glands with, we use a lot of animal RNA and DNA. They're called proteomorphogens of rebuilding the adrenals, very similar to like taking an armor, you know, animal extract of thyroid to rebuild it. And then lo and behold, the thyroid starts functioning again because it doesn't have to compensate so much. And then people find that maybe their thyroid medication is too much because they're having heart palpitations. So then they think something's else wrong, but it's really just they don't need as much. Their body's working again. So that would probably be my top five. Figure out why you're not going to the bathroom. This could be a whole nother podcast.
Yeah.
Figure out why you're not sleeping, a whole nother podcast, right? Yeah. Fix those two things. Drink your water. We hear it all the time. Half your body weight in ounces of water, adrenal and vitamin D. Yeah. As we, yep. Cheers.
How's it? Cheers. Yeah. I definitely, in my youth, I did not drink enough water. I mean,
I was in college for 11 years, right? I lived off caffeine at that time. Like towards the end, I'm kind of like, this may not be the best. I can get away with this at 23. This might not be the best thing for longevity. Yeah. I mean, we just, right. We have to live. And especially when we're younger, we think we're invincible.
Oh,
I 100% agree. Now it's like, okay, I know that I have to fill this up six times.
Right. In my mind. Okay. How many? I know drinking out of a glass. I feel like drinking out of a glass is actually not helpful for me. I usually fill up, I have like a big mason jar, and that's the best way for me to gauge how much I've had. Cause if I do just, I mean, I don't even know how many of these I'd have to have, you know, like, and I would definitely lose count. I feel like, It's better if it's
the
like
other thing I like
thing.
Is a straw. I don't know why I don't drink more out of a straw. I feel like we drink more out of a straw. Everything's better out of a straw.
That's probably true, actually. Maybe that's what I should do too. I don't know. I've not been drinking. I'm hyper aware of when I've not had enough water. And I was in the car earlier this week driving for like 3 hours. And I definitely don't drink then because I don't want to have to stop like, you know, a bunch of times.
Right. So, yeah, totally. And then people that don't sleep, they don't want to drink at night because they don't want to wake up to urinate if they're having, right. you know, bladder issues and hormone issues and things. So then, yeah, then we stop ourselves and yeah, it's definitely tough. And I think water alone isn't always enough. If you're really dehydrated, you need minerals. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes I'll stick a little minerals in my water, or even a cheaper, quicker, faster way is a pinch of sea salt or Himalayan salt or, you know, Celtic salt in the water, because it's the minerals that take the water across the cell wall. Mm-hmm. And that's what hydrates the cell. So again, we're not getting probably the right mineral nutrient density out of our food these days, because exactly. a lot of the minerals depleted, the soil is depleted rather.
Yeah. It's funny. That you say that, because my husband and I just got, a water filtration system for our house, finally put in yesterday, and I'm so excited about that, but yes. it's an RO. And so I'm like, okay, well yes. now I have to figure out what, do you have a particular brand of drops?
I do.
Like, or,
I do. And so two things there, big fan of RO and big fan of mineral or a water filtration system, because there's so many chemicals in our water. There's oh fluoride in most water, and fluoride mm-hmm. will shut down your thyroid. It'll sit on the receptor sites and shut down the brain signaling the thyroid. I'm originally from Flint, Michigan. We all know about the lead in the water there and the toxicity. Fortunately, I'd already moved out when that happened. Yeah. However, I still have extended family there that yeah. can't drink the water to this day. So tap water is dangerous. It can be. And if somebody's got genetic defects where they don't detox these chemicals out properly, and they're going to get sick.
Well, even I'm in North Carolina, and DuPont was dumping Gen X, which is a PFA, they were jumping that in the water in the river. And so, I mean, our water here is, I mean, I was skeptical of even moving here. I moved from South Carolina to North Carolina. I was like, we were both just like, do we want to move there? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. And another thought is, you know, if you don't have it in your whole house, the filtration system is, you can buy shower filters.
Yeah. Right.
And that can, you know, 'cause even if you're not drinking that water, anything you put on your body is in your bloodstream in 7 seconds. So you're showering in that. And that's the thing I think is a miss in Flint right now is they're delivering still. You can get bottled water from the city, but people are still showering in that stuff and bathing in that. So a big fan of water filtration. I like a brand called CT Minerals from Cellcor. CT Minerals from the company Cellcor. And it's just a dropper of liquid that you can just put in. You know, you taste it a little, it's not horrible.
Yeah.
But again, the sea salt works. You can get also reverse osmosis systems that add the minerals back in.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. So that's a good, easy, you don't have to do it. But I've recently dove into the research behind drinking distilled water. Mm. I'm still not sure. Jury's still out. The company Cellcor is a big fan of distilled water. They claim that's the only clean water that you can ever drink. And then you have to add a lot of minerals back in mm-hmm. because it strips everything out. And they claim that's the only way to know your water's clean. So I actually bought a little tabletop distiller. I haven't worked.
It takes a lot of water, right? To like,
and a lot of work. Yeah. It takes a lot of water to just get like,
to
you
just
know,
get the clean. Yeah.
60 ounces. Yeah. So jury's still out. I haven't done enough research myself to say that's the way to go, but they claim that's the only way to get things like mold out of your body and to, you know, get your mitochondria healthy enough to fight things like Lyme. And I don't know. I'm really, really interested
in it.
I don't know either, right? Because we've all been drilled into distilled water is going to kill us, but it's because it didn't have the minerals.
Right.
And it could strip us, but they're saying add it back in. So I'm going to do some more research on that. Maybe come back and talk about that in a couple months, but I don't know.
Yeah. I'm fascinated by what I did an episode on just water because I've gone down that rabbit hole. You know, I've gone down all these different rabbit holes, of course, and water was one of them. And yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that either. And back to the water filtration system, that I got, which I'm really excited about this brand, that came and put it in, but when they came to do their demo or whatever, we did, because we had an alkaline, we were getting reverse osmosis alkaline water.
Yes. From, that's what
from
we
the
have.
Health store and whatnot. We mentioned that to the guy, and he said, and talking about putting the drops back in, and he said, oh, you know, you can get all your minerals from your food. That's not really important. And I didn't want to.
And you're like, do you know what I do?
I know. I was like, actually, in my mind, I'm like, oh my gosh.
It's one of those, sometimes when you know all this stuff, right? Like when you've been studying your whole adult life, you have to like pick my battle. Like,
I know.
am I going to open this conversation?
I used to be worse about that, because I'm like, really like, you know, and now I'm better at being like, just like, yes, breathe. It's okay. Yes. I don't need to go give him a whole lecture, because, you know.
You're like, how much time do you have? Your next appointment? Basically. Like, let's sit down. Yeah, no, that's a tough one. I agree. So ours is RO here in our house and our office clinic, and it adds the minerals back in. It's supposed to alkalize it. Yep.
Nice.
Yeah. So I found, and I've gone through all of them, I would say at the very least, and I'm a big fan of this, is the Berkey filter. Right. Yeah. Cause drinking out of plastic bottles, not good either. That could be a whole nother podcast on estrogenic, you know, mimickers and plastic and why that's toxic, because even if you're keeping it cold, it sat on a truck somewhere, probably in 90 degrees and leached, you know, obviously we're traveling.
Oh, microplastics are in all of it. They found it in all bottled water. So
yeah. And a lot of that bottled water isn't any better than the tap water. Right. Exactly. And with stuff in it. So it's a tough one. And so I think the Berkey you can get for $300, maybe. Yeah, I mean, that's a year of buying plastic bottle water, you know, plastic water bottles.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a more economical way to get clean water. But, and I was thinking about that too yesterday, is that how unfortunate is it that, like, either because you've been educated about it or you have the means, like, that should be, it should be a human right to have clean water. But I mean, insane.
Yes. So here in Texas, just about a year ago, the freeze happened. You may have heard of that freeze.
It looked crazy.
It was crazy. And most of us lost water. We joked that all the hippies, you'll appreciate this beer podcast, are gonna be down in Barton Springs, which is a big
spring, I've been there.
River.
It's so beautiful. Awesome. Yeah. I visited a few years ago.
It's beautiful. It's a natural spring. It's very, to get a little hippie dippy on you, I think it has a very healing energy. The water is like cold. If somebody's having a lot, like a back spasm problem, or they hurt an ankle, I'm like, go lay in the springs. Yeah. It's cold.
Water
is
so healing. Yeah. And some energy, different energy, you know, about it.
Totally. For sure. Some people say it's an energy vortex. That's a lot of why people are drawn here. It's a beautiful place. It's definitely worth the experience if you come to Austin. But we were joking, all of us hippies during the freeze are gonna be down there with our Berkey and like filling up our water, because the Berkey is supposed to filter out parasites, filter out chemicals, right? It's just one of those, you know, filters that is a gravity filter. It doesn't have to be plugged in. You have the filters in it and you just put the water in. So, it almost got to that point right before our water turned back on. I'm not kidding. It was out for like 5 days. We had saved a bunch of water, and my husband's an Eagle Scout, right? So he had,
oh my gosh,
I was very well taken care of.
Get his Eagle Scout.
It's a big deal. Yeah. So he knew how to take care of us in the most primitive environment. So we were lucky that he had lots of water stacked up, because we knew the freeze was coming. But I mean, 5 days without water, we were close to going down to the springs and filling up our Berkeys.
Dang. So, I mean, y'all didn't have power. Like, how, there was no power for 5 days and no water, and
Depended on where you were. Some people were without water and power. We were fortunate that our power was out, and then our power came back on and our water was out. But it was an 8 to 9 day trapped in our houses, because, you know, I, again, grew up in Michigan. So this was a joke at first to people in Michigan, like, oh, you guys got a little freeze. No, it was like 10 below for days and days. And the problem is, and why we were all trapped in our houses, is we don't have salt trucks.
Right. Yeah,
of course.
You're not prepared for this. Why would you?
So a lot of people couldn't leave their house because of the ice, and they couldn't get out of their driveway. And it was, I don't think the country knows how detrimental it was. People died because children, elderly, because they were in like RV homes or you know, oh. they just weren't able to stay warm enough. I mean, our home without power, our dog dishes, we would wake up to a layer of ice. Whoa. It was that cold in our home. Wow. Fortunately, we had a fireplace and, you know, lots of blankets, but, and a few cool things I saw from it. Again, I'm probably an optimistic to a fault is on, like Facebook group neighborhood pages and things, people were doing a lot of bartering and coming together, but some of it was heartbreaking. Like, I have an infant and I don't have formula. I'll trade formula for firewood you know, I have bags of rice. I'll trade for, you know, formula, diapers.
Wow.
Like
wild,
wild, wild, wild, wild. But yes, yeah, so that's where a gravity filter or something like that, life or death situation, which we have one, in our, it's in our garage now, cause we have the other system, could be life-saving. Right. I mean, we have a pool. We were getting water out of the pool to like flush the toilet.
Oh my gosh.
That's where we were at.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. It was wild. It was wild. Wow. Talk about fight or flight.
Seriously. And it was
almost a year to like, you know, the world shutting down from 2020. Yeah.
And then that happened.
Cause it was the end of February, 2021. And so I'm still dealing with patients that have PTSD from it.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
How scary. It's, yeah.
It was bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt like they were talking about it some, but clearly they weren't talking about it enough.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Oh man, that's nuts. oh, I'm so glad it's about to be spring and summer. Okay.
Like, yes. We don't have to worry about that again. Yeah.
I hate the cold. So yeah. Yesterday was like, I think it got to 80 degrees and I was like, yes. And now it's like 60 something. I'm like, no, I hate it.
We're heading that way too here. I think it's like mid 70s today. So we're excited.
Oh gosh. I love it. And then we can all get our vitamin D. So
that's right.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about your center, your healing wellness center.
Yeah. So our office is called Infinity Wellness Center. We're in Austin, but we see people all over the country through telehealth. Our handles are Infinity Wellness ATEX, which is short for Austin, Texas. And then my all my social is Dr. Tanisha, DrTenesha. And yeah, like I said, we have patients, we can do labs from anywhere in the country. So we have patients all over the US.
That's awesome. Well, this was great. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having such an interesting conversation.
We'll have to have you back on and we can talk about, dive into some other more niche topics, I guess. But
absolutely, anytime.
Okay. Until next time, peace and plants. Wasn't that such a great chat? I had such a blast chatting with Dr. Tanisha, and I'm already in the works planning for her to come back on so we can deep dive into some other topics. Please DM me if you have anything specific that you would like to learn about more from Dr. Tanisha. I will for sure take that into consideration, trying to decide what topics we should discuss, and look forward to having her back on. As always, thank you for joining us today on this episode. Be sure to like, subscribe, and share, as we always say on every podcast that you probably ever listen to. And but it's true. It does help, you know, it helps us with SEO and it helps to get these chats out to other people who are interested in the same subjects that we chat about here. So be sure to do that, and I hope that you have a beautiful, beautiful day and are enjoying the spring weather. And I will leave you with a quote that I love, that I read from Margaret Atwood, who is a writer. And she said, "In the spring, at the end of the day, you should smell like dirt." And I love that because I'm working on my garden. And if you smell like dirt at the end of the day, it meant that you had a good day outside in the sun with your hands in the soil. And that is a good thing. So enjoy this weather. And until next time, my beautiful, lovely friends, peace and plants.